Some words can be seen as both good or bad depending on the situation. Take, for example, the word diversion. If someone is workaholic, a diversion like gardening or bird watching could be a very good thing.
It's interesting. But a diversion could also be a bad thing if it temporarily robs the focus of someone who's pushing hard to get a major project done.
This visit, we want to talk about diverging streams, exploring alternative tributaries, and most of all, making sure you stay on target.
Welcome to the Before We Go podcast, featuring Dr. David Maines and his wife, noted author Karen Maines. Here's David and Karen Maines.
Karen, for a lot of men, sports are a diversion.
You think?
Yeah, that could be good or bad. It could be good. It could be bad, depending probably on the hours and hours involved.
Let me just give myself a little bit of a boost here. I do not follow the local teams unless they're in a win cycle and unless we go into playoffs. At that point, I become an avid follower.
You're not a sports person, Karen, so let's leave that alone for a little while. What is it that kind of is your diversion when you want to just get out of this intense mood of writing?
Or when I'm tired, which usually starts, the fatigue usually starts about 3 in the afternoon, because I usually up by 4 at least.
Are you an early riser?
Early riser. Well, I love a good story, and I am probably semi-addicted.
Well, you're talking about movies.
Movies, you like movies? I don't watch television as much as I will get movies on Prime or on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I love to watch the storyline of film.
Yeah, you're a sucker for a good story.
I'm a sucker for a good story. Even a sentimental story, I'm a sucker for. But let me explain some of the reason for that. I'm not defending myself, but just saying, we have one son who has graduated with his degree in film. So he and I have just these extraordinary conversations on the narrative arc, on the way characters are developed. I love these stories of odd people who find one another and the dignity they give to one another.
Well, that's fine. And that can be a diversion for you.
It is a diversion.
And it also can be a problem.
So I think America is a land normally of limitless diversions.
Theater.
We love theater. We've been Shakespeare fans and gone up to the Stratford Festival in Canada, for years, decades, really.
Shopping.
Well, I'm not
shopping is a diversion for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm not much of a shopper, but I think a lot of people will spend an afternoon or an evening just shopping, whether they buy things or not. It's part of their diversion tactic.
Okay, let's put into a sentence what it is we're attempting to communicate here, okay? We're saying, why not explore an alternative tributary?
So we want people to think about a little mountain stream. See this in your mind, because it will help you understand what we're saying. Bubbles down a mountain. And you've sort of followed the track of that stream.
Yeah, it's fun. It's attractive.
On a lot of walks that you've taken with friends or family. But there's always been this little stream that diverts off of the mainstream. We call them tributaries. And you've never really followed it. And someday someone says, why don't we go and see where that goes?
One stream slowing down a bit.
Yeah, the big stream's kind of slowing down, and this little tributary still is bubbling along. Let's see where it takes us. And
okay,
we can always come back if we get lost or it takes us where we don't want to go, but let's see what that's all about.
Okay, let me give the sentence again, and then we'll begin to comment on it. Why not explore an alternative tributary? Let's just talk about that stream of limitless diversions, okay? That's America, right? It's huge in America. You can find all kinds of diversions that will occupy hours and hours and hours of your time. In fact, I'm thinking about in Scripture. See if you can come up with a Scripture. It's hard sometimes, but I'm thinking about Solomon and him trying every possible angle in life as he gets older. And at the end of that time, basically saying, do you remember what his phrase is? Chasing after the wind.
Yeah, chasing after the wind.
You never catch it.
It's a picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very sad picture.
Well, 2 Timothy has the scripture, and I think that this is really addressed to Christian people, and that's who we're talking to today as well. In the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Okay, that's 2 Timothy. Good. Say it again.
In the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. So this is a scripture that should hit us between the eyes, because we have an opportunity to do self-examination. to say, have I in this banquet of diversionary pleasures that is generally afforded to the American public, have I become a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God? What is first in my mind? Is it to love him, to worship him, to serve him with my whole being, to be able to look back on my life and say to myself, I did give to him the best of what I had to advance his cause and the cause of the kingdom, to be a lover of God and a lover of people in the world? Can we really say that? Or has our time here on earth, the human hours that have been given to us, been spent in the pursuit of pleasure?
Let's explore some of those opportunities in terms of the alternative. One of those streams is what we can learn from Scripture. I want to look at this in a little bit different way. The Bible is a very tough book. If you just say to people, read Scripture, that's hard to do. There are whole major sections of the Bible that, quite frankly, are difficult to understand and as a result are boring to people. Look at the Old Testament and the prophets. They're rough books to read. The Proverbs, if you just did read it, you get more than what you expected. Just so many little thoughts one after another. I would say if we're talking about Scripture, I'm going to make a suggestion of two books. If you haven't been in Scripture for a while, if you want to look at the Old Testament, I would suggest the book of Ruth, which is an interesting storyline. It's a story about a woman with very difficult problems in terms of her life and what happens as she follows the way of God. Ruth is not a long book, but it's a good book, and it will keep your interest. Another book that I would suggest you look at in terms of the Old Testament would be the book of Esther, a kind of a suspense story in a way, but again, with a very definite lesson to it, or lessons that you can come up with.
One of the questions we need to learn to ask ourselves when we're reading scriptures that were written in another age or centuries ago is to say, what does this have to say to us today? So we're not just reading it. We're reading it and then considering how it applies to our daily living, our contemporary living, our modern time.
I'll let you come up with a suggestion from the New Testament, all right? And I'm all set. If you don't do very well, I have a suggestion of my own from the New Testament.
So glad that takes the pressure off of me. Well, recently, I've just been looking at the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. I want to fall in love with him in a fresh way spiritually again. So I thought, well, I'm just going to look at the things that he taught. And of course, a major portion of his teaching was given in the Sermon on the Mount. It's a compilation, I think, of all the messages he was giving out as his disciples walked alongside him, as they met people, as he healed people. There were these sayings, and then there was a time when folk gathered to hear him. I think there were thousands gathered to hear him speak on the Mount of Olives.
Just to insert it, that's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount.
Go ahead. So then I've been just taking out the things in the Sermon of the Mount that strike me and writing them down in my journal. One of the things I noticed was, I think Jesus wanted us to be tender-hearted. I think he wanted his followers to have a focus on those folk that the rest of the world overlooked or misused.
There's no question. That's a part of what Jesus talks about.
I've really been struck by that. It is good to be reminded that one of the measurements of our following Christ and how well we're doing is, do we have a heart for those population groups? Are we seeking to help? Are we seeking to empower them? So I'm very sensitive to that, but I'm seeing again that this is a major part of Jesus' message to his followers.
Okay, that's a good suggestion from the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount. Here's just a couple of others, a longer suggestion for the New Testament. If you read a gospel by Luke, and he also writes a second book in the New Testament, which is the story of Acts or the New Testament church. So if you want a longer assignment that'll go over a period of time, you can look at Luke and Acts. I think another possibility would be there are two epistles by Peter. Those are relatively easy books to look at, and Peter is a character. As the writer, you understand who he is pretty well, because there are some of the epistles or letters that are in the New Testament that, in my mind, are very difficult for a new person to just go to and say, oh, I got that. That makes sense. They're confusing parts of them. I'm just trying to say, if you haven't been in Scripture for a long time, here are some options to consider that will get you started anyway. Let's look at another one of those diversionary streams, and that would be the area of prayer. And I'm going to make what, in my mind, is a very elementary suggestion, but a lot of people haven't taken up on what I'm going to say. And that is, one of the best ways to learn how to pray is to pray with someone else. It doesn't have to be a saint. Hopefully you're going to pray with someone who has had at least a little bit of experience with prayer. But I find that praying with other people is a huge stimulation to me in terms of my own prayer life. Listening to how they word their prayers. I don't necessarily copy, but over the course of my lifetime, I recall copying people as they prayed. I thought that was really helpful what that person said. Let me see if it sounds okay in terms of the way I pray. But again, the point I'm making is that if you want to grow in prayer, mm-hmm. somehow you have to be exposed to how people who are good prayers pray.
Well, and I think the accountability of that. I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying and thinking, okay, I need to get something like this started. So the holding one another accountable, just because the meeting happens, then you do it. You don't just think about doing it.
Let me make another suggestion. Okay. And people are going to say, okay, I know what you're like all of them. You just say, pray and read the Bible. Well, we say, pray and read the Bible and do good deeds, because that's another area where I'm going to make a suggestion. If you want to explore one of those diversionary areas outside of the mainstream of mm-hmm. just entertainment. This is such a simple illustration. One of the best cookie companies in the world, in my mind, is Cheryl's.
And you are a cookie expert, if there was ever a cookie expert. Tell about Cheryl's cookies.
Well, usually when you order cookies, and I tend to do it because of my grandchildren, I'm too old to try to figure out what they want, so I send a box of cookies.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all grandchildren inside.
Well,
it.
Now I'm coming to the better part. After you make your order, they always say on the line, now, Dr. Maines, we have a special going on, and you can get a box of 2 dozen cookies for it. Oh, man, they don't even have to get in.
Half price, an additional box of cookies for half price.
If you buy a certain amount, you get a discount, and then it means you get that extra box of cookies for about half price. That's exactly what happens. So I always do the extra boxes.
Yes, you certainly do.
Sometimes boxes, plural.
Now, let me explain that all the cookies, Cheryl cookies, there's a variety that come in the box, and they have their own little individual packages, so they're individually packaged. That's actually the part of the point of why this works.
Well, once the box comes, I don't eat all of the cookies. I eat some of them.
I think you sample each category.
Just
you leave the raisin oatmeals to me, but yeah.
Let's just say my youngest granddaughter is Annalise. Mm-hmm. She's what, 9?
She's about 9, yeah.
Yeah, and
adorable. Of course, every grandparent feels that way about their grandchildren.
She will go with me on our cookie route. So I will say, shall we go with a cookie box today? And we'll go to the dry cleaners, and we'll go to
You're
the gas
basically
station.
Basically running errands with them. And
we'll
then
go to the UPS
do a cookie
store,
drop too, yeah.
Go to the bank, go to the post office, and she will go in with me. And she has a little speech that she, would you like a special cookie today? And people kind of, they're not going to turn her down.
Or anyone really, but it's too
always,
cute.
Usually they say, oh, that's so nice. And then they look for the cookies and having their choice, all these different kind of cookies. In fact, the UPS guy who's the older guy there is a little bit grumpy. He says, well, these are the best cookies in the world. And she, little Annalise will smile. And
hold the box up. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they always pick the best ones, too, which are the big icing cookies. But that's all right. You know, I've had more than my share in my lifetime. But just do something good. Do something gracious. That's a part of following Jesus mm-hmm. and bringing joy into the world. In fact, Karen, I usually will ask Annalise after we've made our cookie runs, I'll say, how did it make you feel? And she says, oh, it makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
You know, but that's part of doing kind things for others makes us feel very good.
Well, and I've seen the studies on this, that we do have a flush when we do something good for people, and particularly if we're not expecting them to do something in return mm-hmm. for us. It's truly an altruistic gift. So if you want to give yourself a little boost, most selfish thing you can do is take care or do a cookie run with some of the people in your world and just see what kind of responses. What I love is that you don't do this to gain favor, but when I go with you, let's say we're dropping into the post office or you've got stuff to take off, the intimacy of friendship that has developed. I mean, you don't have time to learn about their lives or anything like that, but there is this connection.
Yes, that's a good word.
A connection. They're so glad to see you and the welcome that you're given. I mean, you know, it can be tedious to have these lines of people sticking their stuff in the mail and stamping them and getting the dresses and all of that sort of stuff day after day after day. So it's broken by these little acts of kindness. And they're just lovely, lovely to you everywhere you go. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see.
This is that picture that we're going to of the stream that is almost limitless opportunities that's drying up just a little bit. And we say that doesn't mean that life comes to an end because there's an alternative stream.
Mm-hmm. There's another tributary that you need to discover and find and say, let's go this way. Let's see what this does.
Yeah, and again, we're describing that, and it could sound very blasé to people. Heard it a million times, you mm-hmm. know. But scripture can be one of those mm-hmm. one of those avenues,
a new
diversion.
A new kind of exercise in prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that I'm taking away from this. Every time we talk about this, I think I need to get a prayer group started for myself. Not just for myself, but I need to be a part of one.
Lots of those streams surprise people.
Yeah.
We went an alternative route.
Tributaries taking a divergent path. So let's see what that's all about.
You've been listening to the Before We Go podcast. And if you would like to write to us, please send us an email at the following address, hosts@beforewego.show. That's all lowercase letters, hosts@beforewego.show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review, and share on whatever platform you listen. This podcast is copyright 2025. By Mainstay Ministries, Post Office Box 30, Wheaton, Illinois, 60187.